Just 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back in. It's time for the Lunch Rush, where we take some time and look at the kind of some of the sports stories trending nationally, although a few of these have some local ties. Doesn't matter. It's all good. Here's a little NBA story for you. The New York Knicks guard R.J. Barrett is finalizing a four-year rookie extension that could be worth up to $120 million, according to his agent Bill Duffy of BDA Sports and WME Sports. They told ESPN that yesterday. The reason that's important is it complicates their attempt or trade pursuit of Utah Jazz superstar Donovan Mitchell. Barrett's deal makes him the youngest $100 million player in Knicks history at 22 years old. So this is probably going to pause a lot of those discussions now, because you have to ask if you can afford what that potentially looks like to get Donovan Mitchell. But make no mistake about it, as soon as we think that the Utah Jazz Mitchell story is over, something else pops up. I feel like the talks intensified big time between the Jazz and the Knicks, and then it kind of slowed down, then picked back up. Then you see this signing and you go, are they going to have enough space to make that work? So Donovan Mitchell, who knows? Don't know if it's going to work out with the Knicks, but he still may very well be on the move soon. Well, here's kind of a local story here. The Carolina Panthers acquired a playmaker for the Baker Mayfield. They traded with Jacksonville for wide receiver Laviska Shenault. The Panthers gave the Jags a 2023 seventh round pick and a 2024 sixth rounder for Laviska Shenault. Of course, Laviska was a superstar for the University of Colorado, for the Buffaloes. We'll see how that works with him and the Panthers. I thought Laviska's he's been pretty good. You know, he gets injured a lot, but I think he's been all right. I don't have his stats in front of me, but I think he's been a fine player overall. So he was drafted, 42nd overall in 2020? 121 catches for 1,200 yards and 5 touchdowns in 2 seasons. Maybe that's not great. I don't know. It's all right. Another local story here. Philip Lindsay, kind of local. Colts cut running back Philip Lindsay. Where will Lindsay go now? Is that it for him? Another CU Buffs superstar. I mean, he was amazing. And for the Broncos, he had 2 years of 1,000 yards. He had 2,000 yards with Denver, if I'm doing my math correctly there, Angel. Why hasn't Philip worked out in the league? Is it because he can't really catch? Is he too small? Or is it all of the above?
I think it may just be a combo of both. Also, scheme is something to consider with him. He was in Miami towards the end of the season last year.
Yeah, that's right.
A couple good, you know, plays, carries that here and there, but it's if he's going to be a running back one, you got to find a system that will work for him. I know Tanner had mentioned maybe Baltimore would be a good fit for him there, but I don't know. You hope the best for Philip, because he really is a good dude and a good player.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of wanted him to be a versatile player, catching a lot more in the backfield, maybe more special teams. And so the Colts wanted to carry more guys that can do, if they're going to carry a guy down the depth chart, as far as running backs are concerned, they're going to go with somebody that maybe can be more of a jack of all trades kind of guy. Okay, this story here, this one's very interesting. In the third quarter, Nebraska melted down. Scott Frost melted down. When was that? They were up 28-17 and they go for an onside kick. What portion of the game was that, Angel? I don't even remember. It was in the second half, was it? I mean, it was obviously late in the third. Was it early fourth? Yeah, it was. It was late. No, it was mid-third quarter, probably. Mid-third quarter. Anyway, we know that they were in Ireland playing football. Scott Frost, I don't know who the reporter was that asked him this question, but somebody asked Scott Frost if he would consider stepping down. Do you have the question, too, or just, okay, let's play the whole thing.
If things start going in the right direction, is there any point in time where you would consider stepping down?
No, absolutely not. I love Nebraska. I'm going to fight with the guys as long as I can fight.
That's a bold question, isn't it?
Reminds me of a question that was posed to Steve Adazio last year about losing the locker room potentially.
Oh, Mr. Kevin Lytle asked that question.
His reaction was less than pleasant.
Yeah, well, and Kevin's question on that side was literally, I mean, I remember it. He said, are you worried about guys hanging their heads? Which is a little bit different than losing the locker room. And Addazio just heard what he wanted to hear. And he took that and said, I'm not worried about losing our locker. And then blah, 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 blah. And then he goes, let's talk about that. Blah, 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 bunch of stuff. He's an intense dude. Very intimidating guy. Scott Frost, man. What? I don't have the stat in front of me, but he's lost. Like what? A good chunk of the games that he's lost have all been within like a touchdown. It just can't, you know, your guys are ready to play. Does that come down to in-game decisions like we saw over the weekend? You're up 28-17. Okay, so it was 9 minutes left in the third. 28-17. And you kick an onside kick. And then the Wildcats scored a touchdown pretty much right after that. Made it 28-24.
Normally you'd probably chop that up to just, oh, it was a momentum, heat of the moment kind of decision.
That's kind of what he said.
But you've lost like nine straight games by one possession or one point.
Yeah, kick it deep and play some defense, man.
His overall record at Nebraska is 15-30.
How long has he been there now? So if I'm doing, is this year four? Is this year four already?
Seven.
This is year seven?
He's been there a long time.
No concept of time. I told you this, Angel.
He's been there a very long time.
Has that been 7 years ago? Are you kidding me?
No, he's been coaching for 7 years.
Okay.
He got to Nebraska in 2018.
Okay. All right, I was freaking out.
Year.
They haven't had a, have they had a winning record?
4-8, 5-7, 3-5, 3-9, 0-1.
Ooh. When's he done there? I mean, he's got a reporter asking him after the first game if he'd consider stepping down. This is it, right? What does Nebraska have to do in order for him to keep his job? Bowl game, or is it bigger than that?
I think maybe bowl game at the least. It's going to take a lot. I know Nebraska's fan base is ravenous for success.
Are they over? I wonder if they're over him. There's a lot of Nebraska fans in this state.
I say, looking at their schedule, I say by September 20th, he's out of a job.
What do they have next?
They have home against North Dakota, home against Georgia Southern, and then home against Oklahoma. I think that'll be it for Scott Frost.
Oh, boy. He was, because he's a player. He's a former player, right? So he was supposed to be the savior. Is there any Nebraska fans still going to bat for this guy? They have they have Nebraska watch parties at bars in this area, in Greeley. There's a Nebraska merchandise store. I think it closed down, but it used to be in Estes Park. It was all things Nebraska. That's how big Nebraska was at one point.
They had a big rivalry with TU, didn't they?
And those were great days. Coach Mack created that rivalry. Like, he just manifested a rivalry. And then it just blossomed into something. Those were the glory days. And like you're a big college football. You're a big fan. Like, you like the big stuff. Alabama, of course. But this was kind of our area, because again, CU had their moments in the early 90s, sharing a portion of that national title. CSU's not really got to that point of big level football. So there was this part of it, was like kind of Nebraska almost represented this area, the middle of the country, the Midwest kind of deal. Where it was, I mean, a lot of people hate Nebraska, but I, for one, kind of appreciated it and what they did and their success, because it did shed some light. It shed some light on CU. It shed some light to nearby states. So it was kind of, I don't want to say our claim to fame, but anytime you get teams like a Nebraska that maybe shouldn't get the great players that they're getting, but they do. Yeah, it's kind of a cool thing, but man, they just haven't. It's been so bad for so long.
It's interesting how the dynamic of who's the top dog in college football changes. You saw, USC, Miami, and their runs that they went on. Now it's mostly Alabama. You throw Clemson in there, maybe Georgia a couple times, and it's kind of staying in that region, and that's the big conversation, is how do you get these players out of the Southeast across the country. And Nebraska is a kind of a bridging program like that.
Yeah.
You could get Nebraska to be more successful. The Midwest region opens up a little more.
Yeah, Nebraska's still like, it's still a big name, but that's it.
They still just sell out every game.
Yeah, they still, oh my God, and it's a cool stadium. I mean, it's really neat. I've been there once. And I'm not a Nebraska fan. I don't hate Nebraska like a lot of anti-Nebraska people are, but I'm not really, I just, good, like you said, good. I want to see football spread out throughout the country. You know, California, I don't care about California, but trust me, following the Pac-12 with CU, I still root for those teams to represent the conference well so that you could grow the conference. But as Mel Tucker, now Michigan State's Mel Tucker, once said, the Pac-12 is a tennis shoe league, something like that. And again, you look at your California teams and you want them to grow. So again, I look at the Nebraskas of the world, the Pac-12 teams of the world, and say those are kind of different schools that can represent football as a whole, and it's not just the Southeast. So I don't know, man. I thought Scott was supposed to be the savior there, as did everybody, and it just well, of course, what he did at UCF. I mean, he you know, they have a banner up, Angel. Was that your year? One of your years, or what?
Yes.
Alabama won a championship. Most of the years that are your year.
That was the 2017 walk-off against Georgia.
That's right. How does that make you feel knowing you got a pesky UCF that claims
for a
that
while,
national championship?
It was a little annoying. I'll be honest. It was a little just like, come on, UCF, be better than that.
Yeah.
And then they beat Auburn, and we were like, okay, we're good. You're good.
We forgive you.
You can have your little poster if you want. We're going to put the trophy up.
I'm all for saying, you know, we should have been in that conversation. But don't actually hang a banner.
Now they did a whole parade.
Yeah, so if CSU goes undefeated this year, starting off by beating Michigan, just hang a banner.
Just do it.
Don't even have to worry about the bowl game you end up. You won all of your games, therefore you are the champion. And I know they beat some big names, too. But respect the rules. Respect the decisions. Not that I always agree. This is why a bigger playoff system would be better. 17 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's talk a little more about CSU. The spread, 31.5 and rising, it seems. Is it possible to cover? Is it? I guess some Rams coming at me like, I'm going all in. I'm going in on them to win. You could bet like $1 and win some pretty good money, probably. 18 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
It's still hot out there. Still hot. It's August 30th. I guess that's to be expected, but maybe cooler days are ahead, maybe not. Either way, your air conditioner has probably been given a run for its money this year. Maybe you want to get it serviced and fixed up so you're ready to go for next year. Think about your heating situation. In a couple of months, we're flipping the script and we're talking about cold weather. Lemons Heating and Cooling handles it all. They'll get your HVAC system up to date. They'll take a look at everything. And of course, make sure if you do need a tune-up, if that AC has been working too hard this summer, let Lemons Heating and Cooling make sure everything is ready to go. Because the last thing you want to do is go home after a long day of work, go into the house, and it's just as hot inside as it is outside. 970-567-0798. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. 970-567-0798. Can CSU cover 31.5? It's just, we had the Clay Millen show yesterday. Great guy. I'm loving that show. Can't wait till we actually have stuff on film to talk about. But that's a fun show. And I did ask, I said, do you kind of feel like it's a slight that Jim Harbaugh is not naming his quarterback and is almost using your game and the Hawaii game as a little experiment to see. I mean, he's treating your game like a preseason game. He's treating CSU and Hawaii like a preseason game. And Clay said, yeah, I mean, he didn't go all into it. Clay's a professional. He's a good dude. But he said, yeah, you know, yeah, I suppose it kind of is a slight, but we can't think too much about that. That's on the defense. They got to figure that out. But yeah, I absolutely do. I mean, what are you going to do about it? It's Harbaugh's kind of style. I mean, you hear him today, what we talked about earlier, he's comparing kind of his situation to like biblical times. Like, say, nobody knows the future, but you should know the future of who your starting quarterback is by week one. Do you have any issues with this?
Not really issues, because like, I could care less about what Michigan and Jim Harbaugh want to do, but it is definitely interesting, and it's a story that keeps staying alive. I didn't think this was going to last as long, but you know, we're going into week one, so you need something to talk about with Michigan. But it's definitely weird. I got to wonder the mindset of each quarterback of the team, because whoever's under center, that's the guy getting your play calls in. That's the guy you have to trust to get you the ball or to hand it off correctly. And it's weird. If you go into 1 week with this guy as your starter, next week practice gets changed, the reps get changed, the mentality is different.
Yeah, that's what's weird about it.
The feel of just the quarterback and how he feels in the pocket, in the huddle, it's different.
So much about the season is developing your chemistry and, you know, getting into your weeks and what they look like. Having a quarterback, once the season starts, having your quarterback know exactly what he's supposed to be doing, what his role is supposed to be, who he's working with. You heard like Clay telling us he's texting back and forth with his receivers and they're talking about the game and they're going over it. Well, what's that like for Michigan? You know, it's like,
it's a group chat.
It's a group chat, I guess. It's Cade McNamara with J.J. McCarthy on the group chat with the rest of the receivers. It's like, guys, let's go out. Let's just tear it up this week. We're going to go and we're going to cover that spread. We're going to destroy CSU and we're going to get ready to go. And then J.J. chimes in and goes, yeah, and then the following week, we're going to go get Hawaii and it's going to be fantastic and we're going to blow them away.
Let's go, team.
And then the receivers are kind of like, yeah, you guys are good, both of you. Who do you like better, receivers? You're both good. I don't like it. And again, who am I to argue with Michigan? I mean, he was in the playoffs last year. They're a top eight team right now. But it just still seems, I don't know. To me, it's like border. He's arrogant. So that's how it is. This is just another example of his arrogance. Pick a quarterback. If he's not good, then you pull him and you put somebody else in. That's kind of the way to do it. But yeah, I look at this and it's like you're going to go and you're going to experiment on CSU. I hope with all my heart that this is the upset of the world and CSU walks away with a win over Michigan. I know that's not happening. I get it. But wouldn't that be hilarious? And again, I don't wish ill on student athletes. These are young people. So I'm not going to be that guy. Some of them are. If you're older than 18, I have a hard time calling you a kid, but that's fine. Whatever. But I don't wish McNamara any ill will or J.J. McCarthy, but it would be hilarious for Jim Harbaugh if McNamara kind of struggles in this game and CSU makes it uncomfortably close or even just covers the spread by a couple of touchdowns even. I think it would be hilarious, and not just from CSU's standpoint, but for Michigan. This would be a story anyway, even if they weren't playing CSU. But because it's directed at Colorado State, it is a story. And again, then he's going off talking about nobody knows the future. It's biblical. No person knows what the future holds. Like, why do we have to talk about football and basically like, well, I wish I had a glass ball and I don't know why Harbaugh sounds like that. That's how he sounds. And I'd just tell you the truth and I'd go through the future. No, dude, you're the head coach. You play on Saturday, a couple of days away. Just tell us who your quarterback is. It's not beating world hunger. It's not, what did Hugh Millen say? We're not talking about the missile crisis here. It's none of that. It's just your quarterback. Just name your damn quarterback and move on. And if he's not who you like after 3 weeks, put another guy in there. You're probably going to win either way because you have that good of a defense and that good of an offensive line.
Yeah, and I think all this conversation we've been focused for CSU, mainly just their offense. I'd say the defense, if anybody feels the most slighted out of this.
Oh, yeah.
That,
no question.
Oh, they think that they have two quarterbacks that can beat us? Let's show them they have zero.
Well, and if you read, like, J.J. McCarthy's pedigree, he was a top 25 guy going into last year. So, like, and I know he was banged up a spring ball and everything with his shoulder. But if you're CSU, you're going, it's probably going to be J.J. McCarthy. They're putting, because everything that I've read about Michigan is that it's probably going to be J.J. McCarthy. But if you're CSU, you're going, you're going to put the guy that's probably going to be the backup against us for his tryout. Because what's going to happen, dude? CSU's better than Hawaii. Right now, on paper, I haven't seen CSU play yet. I saw Hawaii. CSU's better than Hawaii. So, of course, J.J. McCarthy's going to go out and have a monster game against Hawaii. And I, you know, McNamara's probably going to have a pretty good game against CSU. But if I had to, if I was a betting man and I wanted to bet on who's going to have the better game, I'm going to say it's going to be J.J. McCarthy because you're going up against Hawaii. And they're coming to you, right? That's not on, that's not in Hawaii.
I don't think so.
Not that that's like a great equalizer.
They start like their first four games at home.
So again, that's the travel thing for Hawaii. You know, it's always kind of slows teams down if you got to go to Hawaii, the time change and all that, jet lag. But some of it is, some of it equalizes and lowers a team maybe that's only 10 points better. That wouldn't matter. Michigan would still go into Hawaii and beat them pretty easily. But the fact that it's going to be in Michigan, too, it's going to be a bloodbath. So, yes, J.J. McCarthy's going to have a better game. Dixon Brady, we all know that a big part of not wanting to reveal information is try to keep the other team guessing and having to prepare for all possibilities. But he's saying that this is who the quarterback is. And I know he's probably trying to keep people guessing down the road. I get that, but come on, just name your quarterback. It's not science, man. It's not rocket science here.
I mean, I'm just imagining if McNamara goes out and throws a pick on the first drive, what do you do?
Yeah, what if he's bad? Like, what if for some reason he's bad on Saturday?
And that changes CSU's entire game
plan. Oh,
unless they're preparing to possibly face another quarterback. I don't know.
Probably. They're probably preparing for that stuff. Texter Bill Belichick has made a career of not giving up info. I know, and it's just annoying. He's football coaches.
College football.
I know.
Here.
Basketball coaches are like, hey, man, you want to see our practice? Come on in. Here's a copy of our out-of-bounds play. Maybe not like that. But it's way different. Football, it's like you see them down the street and you say hi, and they're like, you cannot see me out here. You're going to learn something. Coach, how are you? Hey, easy with the questions, all right? I don't want Michigan to know what we're up to,
okay? What's your angle? What are you getting at?
Yeah, what are you getting at? What's your angle here? Coach, did you have a good spring? Oh, easy, tough guy. I'm not going to give you anything. 31 minutes after the hour. Let's see if Mike Brohard thinks it's weird from CSURams.com. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
A lot of people weighing in on this Michigan quarterback thing. It is biblical, after all. Speaking of biblical, joining us now, Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Mike, my friend, how are you?
Well, kind of wondering why I get a lead-in from a former CSU quarterback.
I don't know.
When you called to talking about CSU football.
I mean, hey, should you just be happy to get a lead-in at all? Some people don't get that good of stuff, Mike. Come on. We don't want to complain.
Wow. Yeah. Just seems like it's important. It's not very biblical.
Well, it's not very biblical. Well, all right. Tell me about this. Speaking of poor taste, do you think that this is in poor taste for Mr. Harbaugh to be experimenting with the two Mountain West schools with his quarterback situation the next 2 weeks?
Is it in bad taste? No, it's his football team. He can do what he wants. So people are going to have whatever they think. It's their perception of what he thinks they're going to do. If CSU wants to take offense to it, they can do that. People can discuss whether or not, like, if you don't know who your quarterback is and you're going to play both of them, then do you have a quarterback that you really trust? People can read it however he wants to, but it's his team, and if this is how he wants to pick his quarterback, that's how he's going to pick his quarterback.
You don't think it's a slight at all at Michigan's opponents for the next 2 weeks?
Do I think it's a slight at
all?
Yeah,
do you think so?
It depends on how they take it. I mean, is it a slight if you say you're going to play both of them? Is it any different?
I don't think so. I guess I just look at it. I feel like this is an experiment. We're using CSU. We're using Hawaii as our experiment. I don't know. It's Harbaugh, too, so I also consider the source of all of it. But do you personally look at it that way?
No, I don't take any offense to it at all.
Well, Mike, you know me. I like to take offense to it. I think it's interesting. However, I also think J.J. McCarthy's going to be the starter, so CSU's going up against the backup quarterback this weekend, which also surprises me that the line keeps moving. I don't know why that is, Mike.
I don't either. I don't judge it. I don't question it.
I mean, it went from 27.5 to in the 30.5 and now 31.5. I mean, what's happening?
Well, I don't know. It might also be the trend. Obviously, when you see that, people thought that was a light line. They thought, you know, Michigan bettors, where they're putting their money, if they're taking the over, if they're taking the cover, then they're going to go ahead and raise what the cover line is.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. It's just interesting to me. Going forward here, game week officially, CSU going up against Michigan. We know what it is. It's going to be, we've talked a lot about it, Mike, Clay Millen, his first start, the first chance to see Fort Air Raid getting at it. Give us kind of your first initial thoughts looking at this and maybe your expectations going forward.
I guess for me, I'm really curious what happens this game. You know, they've had a lot of time to work on what they want to do, put in their systems, get everybody accustomed to them, you know, talk to some players. They're just excited to see what it looks like on game day because, as of right now, nobody's seen what this looks like on game day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're practicing against each other. You can scrimmage, but it's not against another team.
Right. No. Well, and I know these guys are just chomping at the bit to get that opportunity. But Mike, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here. Like historically, is this going to be the largest crowd CSU has ever played in front of?
I think so. If this sells out, or I think that it was 101 something against Alabama.
Okay.
So yeah, there's obviously the definite possibility. Hmm. It's a season opener in Michigan. I don't know that it matters who they play for their fan base. They're going to show up and so climb over 101 and then, yeah, it'll be the biggest that they've ever seen.
That's crazy, man. And then talking about, I know we've talked about it a lot, but with Clay, great guy, but extremely young. I mean, it's just nuts to me. This is going to be his first start in college football in the Big House. And it's not like this is a weird year for Michigan. They are projected to be one of the best teams in the country, too. So that's got to be just a surreal feeling for young Clay Millen.
Well, no, that's not the way he talks about it. He talks about it like it's an opportunity. And he talked to his dad, who has played in Ann Arbor, and about what it was going to be like. And I've got a story that'll come out tomorrow about everybody's focused on this being his first start, but this first start is just the first step in what they hope is a really long and productive career for this kid. And Carson Strong, his first start came as a redshirt freshman against a Power 5 school, albeit it was at home, and it wasn't Michigan, it was a Purdue team not coming off the college football playoff. So, yeah, there's some different things, but you get the impression this isn't going to phase this kid. Will there be some jitters? I don't know. I mean, he has played. As I mentioned in the story, he's kind of got those jitters out of his way when he played last year a little bit. But, yeah, so you look at the start, and it looks ominous, I guess, or it looks like a big task. I just don't get the feeling he feels that way.
Yeah, I hear you, and I heard Clay yesterday too, but it's hard for me it's crazy. We're getting a lot of texters coming in asking the exact same question, almost verbatim, with Clay, like, dude, are you pinching yourself yet? Or you realize this could be a lifelong dream for so many people to play in a stadium like that? And he says all the right things, no question. And if there is a young quarterback that you want to look at that says maybe this is one of those guys that isn't letting that moment keep him up at night and get to him. You know, to a point where he's just nervous nonstop. He might be the guy that can handle that.
Yeah, but then again, you know, like a lot of us sitting on the outside who've never played college football and go, God, this would be awesome. I would be so nervous. We haven't gone through like a couple of years of building up to this, and we weren't the 23rd best pro quarterback recruit, you know, pro-style quarterback recruit coming up. he's got some things going for him that none of us will ever have had. And so he can probably go there. And some people are just kind of wired differently. And I think Clay is one of those kids where this isn't something that phases him. And then sometimes I think ignorance is bliss.
That's a good point.
You've never done this before, so you don't know what to expect. It's probably not like he's never seen what a big crowd looks like. Play in front of it, yeah. I mean, the first couple of snaps, it might be kind of cool. But I think once he gets settled in, he just strikes me as the kind of kid that it's going to be a game.
You're probably right. You're around these guys a lot more than me. It's hard for me to separate that. It's just another game because it's just, again, it's the beginning of this whole new era. So much excitement surrounding CSU. Last year, it was like, oh, Michigan, great. This year, I don't know that the spread would have changed or anything like that, but instead of, oh, great, it's, you know what? I think the fan base looks at this and goes, it doesn't really matter what happens on Saturday because that's not going to erase any of the excitement or any of the buildup or any of the hope that we have even for this season with Colorado State.
No. What you want most coming out of this game is you want to win. You want to go out there and so on, quote unquote, shock the world. But you'll take a really good performance. You'll take a competent performance where it looks like your team is tied together and they've got this down pat. If you get beat by a superiorly physical team, people can accept that. But you want this team to A, you want to feel like you're coming out and you're on the right track, and B, that you're healthy.
I get both of those points too. I don't even know if you can say this, if it would be considered a letdown of any kind, but is there a score in your brain? Is there something that happens in this game where you go back and say, man, I know that the expectations weren't really there or whatever, but is there something in your mind that goes, other than injury like you just said, where you walk away going, man, that was kind of a disappointing game overall?
Well, I mean, if you look back at, like, I think CSU played Nebraska when you were 70-7, yeah, you'd walk away with a different vibe. But, you don't want to see that, obviously. And I get the feeling you're not going to see that. But, that would be something. Like, if it looks like they don't belong on the same field with Michigan whatsoever at any point in time, you got to go back. Last year, you know, this program played Iowa, and they were ranked in the top 10 in the country, too. And they were leading at halftime.
Yeah,
you know, you lose that game, but you still felt pretty good about it. If you come out and you give up 35 points in the first quarter, then it's a different vibe, right?
Yeah, we were talking about the Alabama. Was that 2013 when mm-hmm. Garrett Grayson was there? And I remember that game, not exactly how it all went down, but it seemed like CSU had an opportunity to make it a pretty interesting game. Then there was a fumble. Alabama scores right after that. But I remember walking away from that game thinking, CSU belonged on the field. I mean, yeah, Alabama was the better team. They were obviously very good the rest of the way through. But I remember thinking CSU kind of belonged there. And I don't know if that's going to be what the goal is necessarily as far as scores and spread mm-hmm. and all that Saturday. But I think there's a lot of ways you can take and I know coaches don't want to hear this, but you there's a lot of ways you can take that moral victory from Saturday.
Right, and if you want to draw a parallel to those two games, this game that's going to happen Saturday and that game that you're talking about with Grayson, you're talking about an offensive coordinator, head coach, Jim McElwain, that had just come from Alabama. They were running a similar defensive system here at Colorado State. So what they faced in Alabama, they had seen. If you remember correctly, why am I losing his name right now? Aaron, the linebacker. Had like 12 tackles, and he looked phenomenal. And he's like, okay, this kid can play, and he can play, and he was really good. But he also had seen that offense every day in practice. It was the same offense that Jim was running here. So if you can find some similarities that come across. Okay, so if you flash forward to this year, Michigan runs a 4-2-5. That's exactly what Clay Millen sees in practice every day. Is everything exactly the same? No, but he'll understand where like some of the disguises get set, where some of the blitzes come from. There's going to be some recognition factor, and that can play into CSU's advantage, where it's not a completely different system that would just be a complete shock to the system.
Well, it's going to be either way. I'm pumped. I can't wait to see this game on Saturday. I know a lot of people are chomping at the bit, ready to go. Mike, my friend, appreciate your time as always, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
It sounds like a joyous occasion.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. There he is, Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day: will CSU cover 31.5? Mike says he doesn't care. Well, I mean, everybody that works at CSU says they don't care, right? Everybody at CSU says, I don't care. But this is not just another game. I'm sorry, but it's not. It's Michigan, bro. It's in the Big House. It's going to be the biggest crowd CSU has ever played in front of. It's going to be nuts. Yes, absolutely. I don't know. I think the spread, it's an interesting thing. I think there's a lot of ways, though, you can walk away saying that it's a moral victory Saturday. There's, what is Mike saying, the threshold's like, what, 70-6 or something? Was that Nebraska? Yeah, if it's that, if you lose by 40, is it colossal? Are we freaking out? No.
Maybe. I don't see Michigan scoring this many points.
I don't
think
so.
They're not going to score 50 points.
I don't know. And again, you're looking at it going, this is the first game with this new coach. Well, again, he's coached in Nevada. He did get guys coming over to the transfer portal, which is why I think people are looking at it going, we expect to kind of be competitive on the field. Now, if this was just Jay Norvell taking over and he didn't have any guys coming over in the transfer portal and it was an unknown quarterback and all this stuff, then we would be probably giving him a little bit, you know, more like, hey, it doesn't matter. No, I think there's a part of Rams fans that go, I just want to see that they can hang on the field for a little bit with this team. And I think that that's a realistic expectation because of the experience with the coaching staff and because of the transfer portal situation. 12:49 the time. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Yes, we like having a lot of our guests do rejoins and stuff for us, and it's fun. Mr. Brohard's calling it out, the Buffs thing. Steph hasn't played in like 30 years, man. That's one of the cool things, though. Some of our guests that we have and players and coaches, they will record rejoins for us that you're listening to the whole show. So we really love that. Love getting all of our insiders and coaches and players on it. It's fun. It's a good time.
You're the only person in the state, as far as I know, that covers three colleges, yeah. Multiple high schools, yeah. Couple pro teams.
And we're gonna get pissy about it because it's hilarious, man. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. What did you guys think of Mike's interview? I felt like Mike was there. Is there a group from CSU that's kind of like trying to say that this is just another game? I mean, did it kind of feel like that?
Maybe a little, like, there's a mentality that this is just a game. It's CSU, it's Michigan, it doesn't matter where it's played, who it's played in front of. You got to go out there, you and your 11 guys on the field, and try to win a game.
And I get that.
In a simplistic form, yes, that's a mentality you can have.
I get that from Jay Norvell. But you heard the Clay Millen show yesterday. He said all the right things, but there was a portion of him that's kind of like, it is, but it isn't. You know, like, it's another game, but it isn't. It's Michigan. That's the beauty of having that show. And we get to talk to him about all of those different aspects of it. I feel like there are some people that are kind of just looking at it going, no, we're not going to treat this like, and the coaches do that and say that, but do you think Jay Norvell really believes that deep down, that this is just another game?
Oh, no. He thinks you're going to go in there and upset him.
Yeah, and it's the biggest. It could be the biggest. I don't have a CSU history book in front of me, but this could be the biggest upset in the history of the world. I mean, it could be for CSU That's it. So to say it's not just it's just another game. Well, if CSU wins, then it doesn't matter. Then it's just another game you won.
You can't go into this game thinking that there's nothing you can get from it. That even if you lose by 40, that your team, that you still can't find something about your team to build off of or to be, you know, excited about. This is a new team. They're excited to get out there as much as you are to watch them.
Name another opponent on CSU's schedule that you go, you can lose by 40 and still feel comfortable and still find a moral victory. There isn't one. That, I mean, that's this game is not just another game. Air Force is good. Boise State's good. No way in hell are Rams fans going to be okay with a 40-point blowout. No way. A spread of 31.5. There's no way. This game is different. It is absolutely different than anything on your schedule. Everything is different. You can't find one game on that schedule for CSU and go, yeah, you could find a moral victory in a 40-point loss. This is the one you can. 12:57 the time. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, today in the NFL, what is going on in San Francisco? We'll talk about that on the other side. Also, Cody Tucker will join me from 7220sports.com talking Wyoming. Ooh, he was heated in some of his stories, too. Good stuff from him. All right, final hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.